Big changes are looming for the Defense Department as it faces a new era of budget austerity. Even though there are two conflicts going on, both the administration and members of Congress are calling for a more efficient Pentagon. The Center for Strategic and Budgetary Assessments has taken a detailed look at the 2011 budget request for DOD. And joining us with the forecast is the Center's Senior Fellow for Defense Budget Studies, Todd Harrison. Good morning. Thanks for being on.
Good morning.
Okay, what do we know? Give us a review of the 2011 budget request and what the differences are in tone and direction from earlier budgets.
Well, the overall budget request for DOD is $712 billion. Of course, that includes $159 billion for the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, and a base budget of $549 billion in discretionary funding and $4 billion in mandatory funding. And what we see in there is mostly a continuation of the priorities and initiatives that were begun last year in the president's first budget, the FY10 budget.
So it sounds like you're saying more of the same, only with the emphasis on more.
Right, and you see in there there are a few major program cuts, not many, and the ones that are in there are mostly cuts that were proposed last year and were not enacted by Congress. So the largest two are for the C-17. They want to end production of the C-17, and the Air Force says that they already have more of those cargo planes than they need, and then they also propose ending the Joint Strike Fighter Alternate Engine Program. And that's a backup engine, basically, for the Joint Strike Fighter. The DOD has said for years now that it did not need, but Congress has been insisting on putting funding in there in the hopes that if we have two competing engines for that aircraft, that down the road we'll actually save money. And so what we see in there is a continuation of all of the program changes that began last year in Secretary Gates' big announcement in April of 2009. You know, he had about 30 or 40 different major program cuts. We see a continuation of that in this budget. But what is more troubling is we see a continuation of some of the cost growth in different areas as well. In particular, if you look at personnel accounts, we see that costs continue to grow. Healthcare is something that Secretary Gates has said, I think his words were, it's eating us alive. And healthcare costs now make up about one-tenth of DOD's base budget, a little over $50 billion. And the FY11 budget is just spent on military healthcare.
So the administration and Congress then both agree on the end game, that cost cutting has to happen, that DOD needs to be more efficient. But do they agree on how to get there? And if they don't, how far apart are they?
Well, that's the real challenge here, is that it's easy to say that we should get more efficient, and, you know, be able to do more with less in the defense budget. And certainly there are inefficiencies. The trouble is actually identifying them, and taking advantage of some new efficiencies. What we see is that if you look at our, you know, acquisition programs, we've had a rapid increase in acquisition funding over the past decade, yet we haven't really bought more stuff. You know, our Navy's gotten smaller. Planes and our Air Force have gotten older. You know, our tanks are showing the wear and tear of, you know, almost 9 years of war. And so in many respects, it's been a hollow buildup over the past 10 years. We see the same thing in all the other accounts, in personnel accounts and O&M accounts, military construction, family housing. We've seen large increases in all of these accounts, but we don't have a whole lot to show for it. So the problem now is we have this, in acquisitions in particular, we have this bow wave of equipment needs that keeps getting pushed out into the future. Planes that need to be replaced and new ships that need to be built and new ground vehicles, you know, that the Army and the Marine Corps need. And, you know, we simply don't have the funding going forward to buy all of that. So I think that's a lot of what's behind Secretary Gates's initiative within the Pentagon to try to find some cuts in overhead and administrative cost and then plow that money back into acquisitions and modernization programs.
We're speaking with Todd Harrison. He's Senior Fellow for Defense Budget Studies at the Center for Strategic and Budgetary Assessments. I wanted to ask you, too, behind all this, they need to find money to increase the tooth at the expense of the tail. But through all that, is there a philosophy of defense that is discernible, and will they be able to carry it out? I'm speaking of they, meaning the administration.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, part of the philosophy that we see emerging in the new administration is one of let's try to find efficiencies. You know, and as I said, that's you know difficult to do. It's laudable, of course, but difficult to do. But also, Secretary Gates has really set out on a campaign of reshaping the force, fundamentally making this you know the military of the future look and operate different than it does today. He calls it, let's, you know, refocus on the type of wars that we're in today, counterinsurgency warfare. Of course, some have argued that he may be fighting what it's called last war itis. He's going to prepare the military and reshape it to be optimized for counterinsurgency warfare, where you know we may not have the stomach to get into the kind of situations that we're in Iraq and Afghanistan in the future. You know, kind of after Vietnam, we didn't want to get in that kind of warfare again for pretty much a generation. But regardless of, you know, whether you agree with this decision or not, there does seem to be a shift towards rebalancing the force to focus more on counterinsurgency and irregular types of warfare.
But haven't we heard that before? I seem to recall Donald Rumsfeld talking about that very thing, and it didn't seem to work out as well.
Well, Rumsfeld, he also had, you know, this idea of transforming the military, and his idea was more of to make it a lighter, more network-centric, more lethal force that could be more easily deployed.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right, you know, we were trying to transform into something, and then it turned out that's not what we needed when we got in, you know, to Baghdad, and we realized that, you know, lighter wasn't better when you're, you know, facing roadside bombs and an enemy that you can't locate or, you know, or track. So networking doesn't really help you that much. And so what we found is that we had to evolve from 2003 to present. Our forces really had to evolve based on, you know, the forcing function was the enemy, was what insurgents were doing. We were just responding as rapidly as we could. And, you know, things like the MRAP, the mine-resistant ambush-protected vehicles that we've deployed rapidly in large numbers to Iraq and to now in Afghanistan as well, is kind of a good example of how we've been forced to transform on the fly. But, you know, what Gates is trying to do is to preemptively transform the force into what he sees is, you know, the most likely scenarios, the most likely conflicts that we'll face in the near future.